At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Hello, folks, and welcome back to the program. I have quite a collection assembled for you here tonight. A collection many of you have been asking me for a while. A collection of calls from one of the spookiest states in the Union. It's the 26th most populated state, with over 4.6 million residents, the 15th state admitted to the Union back on June 1st, 1792, and the very first state west of the Appalachian Mountains. Now, the source of the name has been lost to time, but the official nickname is the Bluegrass State, a reference to an invasive species of meadow grass introduced by Europeans. It's home to the world's largest known cave system, Mammoth Cave, as well as the nation's two largest artificial lakes east of the Mississippi. It's your source of bourbon, moonshine, the Kentucky Derby, Louisville Slugger baseball bats, and Kentucky Fried Chicken. Tonight, we're exploring Kentucky. And to kick things off here this evening, we turn to Timothy. Take it away, Timothy.
My name is Timothy Boyles, and I'm from Kentucky. I'm a freshman in college now, but this happened years ago when I was in 8th grade, and it's something I still think about late at night. One evening, my mom, my two sisters, and I were coming home from the dollar store. We parked in the driveway and started unloading groceries from the trunk. My sisters went inside first, while my mom and I stayed behind to get the rest. It was around 8 or 9 p.m. in late November. And for context, our house sits on a hill deep down some back roads through the woods, and our yard is a downhill slope with a lot of open space. There are only a few trees scattered around, and on the other side of the driveway are just dense woods, and the driveway is very long itself. As my mom and I carried the last groceries towards the porch, we heard leaves crunching from the front yard, and we both stopped and looked over into the yard. And at first, we saw something and we thought it was a deer, but its head was hidden behind a tree and it was dark outside. But then it took a few steps backwards and it was now being illuminated by the light from our front porch. And that's when we realized it wasn't a deer. The thing was completely pale and naked, extremely thin, standing on all fours. It didn't have a face. Its head looked like a mannequin, like just smooth and expressionless. Its body, I can only describe it as looking like how a Demogorgon's body from Stranger Things would look. It turned its head towards us, then it stood up on its hind legs. It ran across the yard, over the driveway, and into the woods. And I'm talking like ran, like darted fast. The entire time it stayed upright on its back two legs. It was freakishly tall, like seriously so tall that when it crossed the tree line, the tops of the trees were shaking as it passed through. My mom and I ran inside and shut the door, and once we were inside, we just stared at each other. And I asked her, did you see that too? And then she asked me, what did I see? And when I told her about it, she said she had seen the same thing. We locked the doors and went to bed. And the next morning, my mom went back outside to the area where it ran across the driveway. That's when she saw the prints. At first, they looked like deer tracks, but there were long sliding marks between them. And as the tracks continued, the hoof prints slowly turned into something closer, to something like paws, like as if it were like changing or something. And then my mom she stopped following them after that. Over the next few days, strange things continued at night. Like one time, we had our sliding glass door open that leads to the back porch, and our dogs were standing there just growling so harshly. And my mom and I were trying to figure out what was upsetting them, and that's when we heard it. It was a loud, distant scream, like a howl and a cry mixed together. We rushed the dogs inside and locked the door. Nothing else happened after that, and eventually we moved to another city for unrelated reasons. But whatever that thing was that I saw in the yard that night, whatever left those prints, I hope more than anything that I never come close to it again.
Good Lord, Timothy. They call those things pale crawlers, and people all over the eastern half of the U.S. report them quite often. You might remember the That's Not Human 911 call that we shared a while back. It too described a similar creature, and it too took place in that general part of the country. Now, of course, these things haven't been proven to exist, but that doesn't mean that they don't. And for them to exist, I would imagine they would need a great place to hide. And perhaps the longest cave system in the world would be the ideal place. Have you ever seen the movie The Descent? And you know this creature is in good company, because Kentucky is home to some of the world's most notable cryptids. Creatures like the Kelly Hopkinsville Goblins, the Poplick Monster, Octoman, Sheep Squatch, and the Spotsville Monster. It's creepy country out that way. And it was a super creepy experience, Timothy. Exactly what we would expect from the Bluegrass State. Big thanks for calling in. All right, folks, it's time to take a quick break, but I'll be right back with more right after this. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you could wake up tomorrow and be better at one thing, what would it be? For me, it would be letting myself take a break. Admittedly, I have a hard time taking breaks for actual rest. If I do take time off of work, I just find projects around the house, and vice versa. I rarely just sit around and do nothing. And some people might say that's great, but honestly, I don't get the actual rest that my body and mind needs. Better is a feeling defined by you. And for BetterHelp, it's a therapist who really gets you. It's a focus on global emotional well-being with thousands of therapists and millions of members in over 100 countries. It's progress, and it's getting better at listening to your body when it says rest. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/MAU. That's betterhelp.com/MAU. There's also a link in the show notes.
To voluntarily change its dangerous policy.
All right, gang, this next one comes to us from a familiar voice. Please welcome Dylan from Kentucky back to the program.
Hi, this is Dylan from Kentucky. When I was probably around 7 years old or 12 years old, I lived in a house, and we lived there for a good while, probably about 10, 15 years, I had experienced in my room, my door would sometimes open in the middle of the night. It was dead winter, so we wouldn't have any kind of air running, and it would just open by itself. I mean, it could have been where the door is not leveled, so it would sometimes open, but it would open to the point where it'd push all the way back to the wall. I had two experiences where two figures out of the corner of my eye, didn't know what it was. I went outside one day to actually play with one of my friends, and my sister came running out, and she said, "Wasn't you just playing the video game?" I said, "No, I said, I've been outside. I said, I've been playing, you know, with my friends." She said, "You were just a few minutes ago sitting there playing on the floor in your room in the video game. Looked just like me," she said. Well, all of a sudden, my grandmother had gotten ill, and she had to move in with us. And she reported several times, "There's a little 8-year-old boy that lives with you guys." So mom was like, "No, most nobody at that age lives here." She said, "You know, y'all need to definitely check that out." She said, "Because at night, he can be sitting there staring in the doorway." And I asked him, "What does he want? What does he need?" And he don't respond. So we had several experiences with that. After doing research, I spoke with some of the neighbors and stuff that was in that area. And they reported that years ago, there was a lady that lived down the road, and she had an 8-year-old boy, and he was riding a bicycle in the middle of the road, and a drunk driver come by and hit him and killed him. And it was actually right in front of our house. So I don't know if he's haunting there, but it was kind of spooky. And also, our property was built on a Indian burial ground in the woods. So occasionally we would hear Indian chants, and, you know, my dad would experience some things. But it was a creepy place to live in. Even my other friend had moved in there after I moved in, because it became a rental property after we sold it. He would experience the same things that I would experience. So it was a creepy place. I also wanted to tell a story about me working at Eastern Kentucky University as a custodian. And there's a building there that was actually considered the house of the Blue Lady. And she was a theater worker back in the 1950s. And she would haunt the place throughout the time. Well, I was working there, and I was in one of the restrooms. And all of a sudden, all the sinks start going off. All the commodes started going off. And then all the hand dryers started going off. And then the soap dispensers started going off. There would be times we'd be in the theater and we'd be touched. There's things that would move. It's creepy. You can go back and actually research it on YouTube about all the stories that happened. But I like the podcast. I think you're doing great. Hope to hear y'all soon. Thanks.
Thanks for the twofer, Dylan. Now, if you had any doubt that Kentucky is a creepy place, well, Dylan's call should put those suspicions to bed. Thanks again, Dylan, for calling in. And folks, if you too have a story you would like to share, simply give us a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record your story as a voice memo and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now folks, I still need calls about Halloween for the upcoming special. So if you had a weird experience on All Hallows Eve, give us a call and tell us all about it. 888-608-NIGHT or monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. We have operators standing by. Now to the fields we go for this next one. Please welcome Melissa out of Tennessee.
Hi, this is Melissa from Nashville, Tennessee, and I went on a road trip to Missouri with my father this summer, and on the way back, we took back roads the whole time, the scenic route, doing 30 miles an hour, and we were in Kentucky, and we'd already noticed this town. It was overgrown, and the buildings, they were bashed in. I mean, it looked apocalyptic. I looked it up. and it had been a town in the 20s and yada, yada, yada. But on the way back through, we were watching a crop duster, and it was dusting the crops. And when our van pulled up right beside it, it just stopped. It stopped going. And I looked at it, and I was in the back of the van, and my stepmother in the front looked at it, and she's very religious. Because, of course, I was, you know, this is a government. These are aliens. But, I mean, even she admitted, yes, it stopped. It hovered. I mean, it just hovered. It stopped. She could see the pilot. So, anyway, I don't know what we saw, but it was on the back roads of Kentucky. We saw a crop duster that was going, and then it just stopped and it hovered. Love your show. Bye.
Thank you, Melissa. You know, I know exactly what caused that strange experience. It's called the parallax effect. And essentially, it's an optical illusion that causes objects of a certain distance, going a similar speed, to appear static against a moving background. Now, I've linked to a video that does a much better job of explaining the phenomenon over in the show notes. But as weird as it sounds, and as often as I get a call like this, that's all it really is. Your eyes playing tricks on you. But that might not be the cause for this next entry, because this unseen presence was noticed with the nose. Beowulf, welcome back to the program.
Hey man, my name is Beowulf. Recently, my wife had a kind of paranormal experience. Her mom died when she was 18. Her dad died when she was 21 on her birthday. Her dad was a heavy smoker. And we got the house as a inheritance. And our bedroom is where her dad used to sleep. Me nor her smoke. And the house has been completely renovated. So any past smells should not exist. Plus, we have a brand new bed and stuff like that. For the past couple of months, she had been feeling ill. She was recently diagnosed with acute kidney disease, but we didn't know this. I'm going to say June may have been when it started. Well, while this was going on, before we discovered her disease, she, every night, would smell strong cigarette smoke, and I would not, and I'm completely blind, though my senses are much stronger, you know. From June to September, she would, every night, smell this strong smoke, and it was only at night. And she said at times she couldn't breathe, like it was suffocating her in a way because you know how strong it was. Then fast forward to September 3rd, I think it was, she then was having a horrific panic attack, had to go to the hospital. She came back home. She's doing much better now. And the scent of smoke disappeared. She doesn't smell it anymore at all. So she thinks maybe her father was watching over her, keeping her safe, kind of like a guardian angel of sorts, and using his heavy smoking as a sign, even though, you know, not a good way to do it. But, yeah, I hope to hear this on your show, and I love the show, dude. It's awesome. Get you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Beowulf. You know, my wife, Sarah, tells a similar story. Her family moved into their grandfather's condo when he passed on. Shoe man, as he was affectionately nicknamed, smoked a pipe, and years after his death, from time to time, despite remodeling, the scent of that pipe would come wafting back. Now, I've always wondered if the scent wasn't trapped in the insulation or the studs themselves, and was simply released when the winds blew a different direction, sending an odd draft through an attic space or something. But just like you, Beowulf, she swears that's not what it was. Now, I agree, it is a weird way to send a sign, but I guess we work with what we've got. Thank you again, Beowulf. And take care of yourselves over there.
And allow elected officials to protect.
Insurance isn't one size fits all, and shopping for it shouldn't feel like squeezing into something that just doesn't fit. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they show you options that fit your budget. Enough hunting for discounts, trying to calculate rates, and tinkering with coverages. Maybe you're picking out your very first policy, or maybe you're just looking for something that works better for you and your family. Either way, make it simple to see your options. No guesswork, no surprises. Ready to see how easy and fun shopping for car insurance can be? Visit Progressive.com and give the Name Your Price tool a try. Take the stress out of shopping and find coverage that fits your life on your terms. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Different ways we could go with this one, but today we're going to give it to...
Now, folks, let's visit a few of the Bluegrass State's most infamous haunted hotspots, beginning with Brittany, from the nearby state of Ohio.
Hi, Derek. This is Brittany from Ohio. I was just listening to season 20, episode 38, and a woman on there was talking about how they took a picture of their cat staring at an orb, and the picture disappeared like the next day when they went to go look at it. Well, back in like 2014, I was going to college in Southern Ohio, and a small group of students were able to go to Bobby Mackey's Haunted Nightclub and do a ghost investigation. And I was one of those students. We took a group photo downstairs in front of the well that's known as like the portal to hell. And somebody posted the photos on Facebook. And when the photos got posted, I had commented, "Oh my God, look, there is a 6 foot tall something man standing with us in the photo with a black top hat on." And everyone immediately freaked out. And then the next day, the photo was gone. I couldn't find it anywhere. I messaged everybody that was there that night, and they all just seemed to ignore me. Nobody ever messages me back telling me they don't have the picture, they can't find the picture. I even went as far as emailing the director of student activities at that time to see if they might have had the photo, but they were the only ones that replied and said that they didn't have access to it. So yeah, I just thought that was kind of funny that she took a picture of something paranormal and it disappeared on her, and then this one disappeared on me. And I've been looking for it ever since 2014, and we're now in 2026. I just want people to believe me and see what I saw. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Brittany. Now, if you do find it, you know how to send it to us. monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now, Bobby Mackey's was torn down almost 2 years ago. They're currently rebuilding. And that stone well, the portal to hell, well, that's staying. The rumor is they're putting a glass floor over it, so soon you can get a look at the underworld yourself, or whatever's down there. And on the topic of haunted locales in Kentucky, let's run down the list given to me by our very own Kentuckian, Delaney Bowers. A list courtesy of KentuckyForKentucky.com. The first is Liberty Hall in Frankfort, a 1796 house that's now home to ghosts like the Gray Lady an opera singer, and a forlorn soldier trying to get home. The next is the Kentucky State Penitentiary in Eddyville, a 140-year-old prison. Need I say more? Then there's Camp Taylor in Louisville. Once a bustling military camp, it was devastated by the tuberculosis epidemic. The stains of those tragedies are still felt there in its new form as a residential neighborhood. Then you have the old Talbot Tavern in Bardstown, built in 1779, and has the ghosts to prove it. So haunted, in fact, that the famous outlaw Jesse James is known to have fired his pistol at what he thought was a ghost while staying at the tavern. Then there's Cave Hill Cemetery, the final resting place to Colonel Sanders and Muhammad Ali. And if the stories are true, countless spirits. And next on the list is another neighborhood, Old Louisville, a place locals claim is one of the most haunted neighborhoods in America. And of course, Bobby Mackey's made that list, as did the location of this next story. Please welcome Chris to tonight's program.
Hey, Derek, this is Chris from Kentucky. Now, you've probably heard of a place called Waverly Hills in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm originally from this territory. I live a little bit away from there. When I was first born, for the first 5 years of my life, we lived in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, it's a big thing around here, especially around Halloween. Everybody go visit Waverly Hills. Now they've actually opened for some tours. They're trying to turn into a bed and breakfast. We'll see how they do with that. I don't know. Anyway, when me and my wife were just dating, we, got the bright idea, let's go see that. I'd heard of it. Well, we went up there, and this is before they really started tours without having a serious appointment. And I remember I started getting sick on the back road up to it. And when we got there, I stepped out and I looked at it, and my blood ran cold. I felt like the thing looked back at me, and I felt like it was hungry. So anyway, there wasn't anybody there to even begin to try to get a tour or anything, so I didn't want to do that. So guess what? We left. Now, later on, as I'm talking to some of my relatives, most specifically my oldest sister, we happened to tell her about it. And she looked at me kind of weird and said, "You may really not want to go there." Which, of course, had my interest. Come to find out that during those first 5 years of my life, that it had been, a TB hospital. And apparently one of my mom's aunts was in there during time being treated for it. And when she would go to visit, because we only lived a few blocks away, half time we would walk there. We would go visit, of course, me being 2, 3, 4, I would go with. And, I was born in 1970, so we're talking between 1970 and 1975. So anyway, she never would tell me exactly, but she just said something like, "That place may want you back." And that's all I could get out of her. But, you've probably seen the stories on it. I don't know. Some people say it's really bad. Some people say it's not. All I know is I felt like it wanted me. I felt like it was hungry and it was going to eat me. I know that probably sounds pretty silly, but keep this up. I love your podcast. It's awesome. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Chris. It wanted you back. What the hell does that mean? Now, if you don't know about Waverly Hills, you need to come out from underneath your rock, because it's a very popular paranormal destination just outside of Louisville, one I believe you can still tour to this day, and with an estimated 8,000 deaths occurring inside the building, you just might find what you're looking for. Thank you again, Chris, for taking the time to make the phone call. Now, gang, I have one last spooky place to share with you. Before Europeans colonized the lands of Kentucky, it was once ruled by the indigenous people of the region. And apparently, those places that those groups left behind are also supernaturally charged. And here with his experience is Donald out of Ohio.
Hi, Derek. My name is Donald. This incident happened a couple months ago, probably in March 2022. My girlfriend and I are pretty avid rock climbers. We spent a lot of time down in Redford Gorge, Kentucky, near Slade. We were climbing one day at a area that was pretty well off the beaten trail. There was not any other climbers present but my girlfriend and I. There's a lot of fenced off areas for archaeological dig sites in the area underneath the cliff sides where Native Americans used to camp and build fires and live essentially. Well, we were climbing and my girlfriend had to go to the bathroom, so she hiked along the cliffside, maybe like 5 minutes down, to find a place to pee. And she walked past one of the Native American dig sites. She got a really, really weird feeling. Ran past it, moved quick, didn't like that area back there. Well, she came back, didn't say anything to me about it. Maybe 30 minutes later to an hour later, I also had to go to the bathroom. So I start hiking along the cliffside the same direction she went. I walk past it. I look down at the little fenced off area. Nothing weird happened. Kind of continued walking. I did my business. And when I came back, I looked at it again. And normally I'm pretty good about respecting these areas. I don't go back there for anything. But for some reason, there was a little voice in my head said, go back there. Go back there and explore. And that's not something I would normally do at all. I normally leave those places unmessed with. Well, I go back there. I walk over this little 1 foot tall fence, maybe 20 feet back there. I feel the temperature drop completely. It's a hot day in March that day. It was maybe like 75, 80 degrees. And when I walk over the fence, the temperature probably drops to 65. Got a really big chill. And then right as I almost get to the base of the wall, I start to panic. My brain is just like, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. So I immediately turn around, walk back over the little fence, and walk the rest of the 5 minutes to get to where my girlfriend is sitting at the base of the rock climb we were doing. And I tell her, I go, hey, I just walked over here and my brain said walk over the fence, and I did. And then when I got over there, I like panicked and freaked out and had to walk back over it. Really, really weird feeling. Well, then she tells me about how she also got a weird feeling, but just walking past. I don't know what it was. She doesn't know what it was. It was just this weird, like, sixth sense we both had. This area was not a place we should be. It was just so weird that my brain said, go over there and look at it, when that's, you know, that's not something I would do. So I just wanted to call, see what you thought about it, see if there's anything you could give me information on. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, sir. Well, folks, what do you think was in that cave? And do we really want to know? Now, I don't have any further information for you, Donald, but perhaps someone out there listening does. And I'll be sure to update the story should anything pop up. But in the meantime, thanks again, Donald, for sharing.
The Angels needed some good pitching today, especially...
Insurance isn't one size fits all, and shopping for it shouldn't feel like squeezing into something that just doesn't fit. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they show you options that fit your budget. Enough hunting for discounts, trying to calculate rates, and tinkering with coverages. Maybe you're picking out your very first policy, or maybe you're just looking for something that works better for you and your family. Either way, make it simple to see your options. No guesswork, no surprises. Ready to see how easy and fun shopping for car insurance can be? Visit Progressive.com and give the Name Your Price tool a try. Take the stress out of shopping and find coverage that fits your life on your terms. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited. by state law.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
I'm going to call him a friend of the program. On his return visit, Hudson.
Now our next entry comes to us from Chelsea. Please welcome her to the broadcast.
Hi, Derek and Sarah. Big shout out to Delaney in Somerset. I'm Chelsea from Corbin, Kentucky. Anyway, I have a shadow person story for y'all. This actually took place in Jones Creek, Kentucky, known by the locals as Jones's Creek. I was around 8 or 9, so this was in the 90s. We had just recently gotten a Rottweiler puppy named Hercules, and he was sleeping on the couch with me. I don't remember why I was sleeping on the couch and not in my room, but here it goes. I woke up in the middle of the night to Hercules barking. I looked around and saw what I thought was a shadow on the wall. It looked like a shadow, but was darker, and it looked like it belonged to either a man or a boy in shorts. I couldn't really tell. For some reason, it made me think of Peter Pan from the Disney animated movie, the old one. I don't know. It looked like somebody wearing shorts. It didn't really look like Peter Pan, but something about that made me think of Peter Pan with his shadow on the wall. So I was kind of looking out for Tinkerbell, but she wasn't there. Anyways, behind me, there was a set of French doors, and to my left, there was a large window. These were the only light sources from the porch light and the street lamp outside. I immediately looked to both of these sources, fully expecting to see a person standing there. But there was no one. I was so astonished that I stood up and looked out the doors. I could see no one. I looked to the wall, and the shadow was still there. Hercules had never stopped barking at it. At this point, I was terrified. That's when the shadow started to move. It motioned with its hand as if it was signaling to someone I couldn't see, like it was telling them to come over. I couldn't take it anymore, so I grabbed Hercules and made ready to run. The crappy part was I had to push by the wall. The shadow was on in order to go through the doorway to get out of the living room. Once I got the nerve, and I ran up as fast as I could and made it to my parents' room. So I passed by the shadow successfully, and nothing happened to me. My parents got up, and Dad even went outside to check, and there was no one there. Dad thought it was someone creeping around, but neither I nor Hercules saw anyone but the shadow on the wall. Hercules only barked at the shadow. The whole time, during the whole ordeal, he was dead focused on the shadow, and I was just looking for a person near the light sources or, you know, somewhere like that. It should have been illuminated, but it wasn't. So that's my story. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I absolutely love the podcast. Stay spooky.
Thank you, Chelsea. You know, seeing one of these entities is bad enough, but having it motion to someone or something that you can't see, well, that's a detail that I wasn't prepared for here this evening. Something tells me this one will be stuck in my head for a while. Scary stuff, Chelsea. We thank you again for sharing it. All right, rolling right along here, this next entry comes to us from Elizabeth in the state of Tennessee.
Hi, Derek. This is Elizabeth, and I'm calling from Tennessee, but my story happened in Kentucky. I grew up in Kentucky, and I lived in a house which it was kind of out in the middle of nowhere. I have lots of stories that happened in and around this area, but This one makes me very emotional. It's just stayed in my heart for years. I was just probably between 6 and 8 years old, and we lived out in the country, and we lived in a simple 3-bedroom, 2-bath ranch, but my parents and I had a bonus room in our house. They used it as a storage room, so basically it was full of junk. So I would go into this room and close the door and just spend hours in there. I would play dress up. I would go through their stuff, their toys from when they were kids. I was an only child. We lived out in the middle of nowhere, so that was fun for me. Now, there was a closet in this room, and it was a really tiny closet. You would open the door, and basically there was only enough room for some boxes. So there were like 3 boxes stacked up on top of each other. And one of these boxes held some figurines that had belonged to my grandmother. They were these little glass animals. So I would open the closet door. I would sit just inside this tiny little closet and play with these animals for hours. And I remember going to bed in my bedroom one night, and I had this dream, and I dreamt that I walked into that closet. But when I opened the closet door, it went outside. But I wasn't outside of my home. I was somewhere that I had never been before. So growing up in Kentucky, I had never been to a swimming pool. And so in my dream, I had walked outside and there was this huge, fancy swimming pool. I don't know if at this age I had ever done anything more than play in a creek. I definitely hadn't been anywhere like this. So it was a huge, fancy swimming pool. And I could feel everything in this dream. The sun was warm. It was very bright outside. I felt so happy. And the most vivid thing about the dream were that there were these little yellow stepping stones. So these little yellow stepping stones came out and they went around the pool and they led to these patio tables, the kind that has a little hole in them and then the umbrella comes out. But they were these fancy, like, white marble tables, and the umbrellas came out, and they were bright, bright yellow, like the stepping stones. And they had fringe around them. And I remember that so well to this day. So I'm 40 now. It's been over 30 years since I had this dream. But it didn't look like early to mid-90s. It looked like decades earlier. Now, looking back as an adult, you know, it looked like a different time, a different decade, further into the past. And when I woke up, I was sad. I was so disappointed because I felt so happy in this dream. The sun was so bright. It was so warm. Everything was so vibrant. So I had had the dream in my childhood home. My husband and I had gotten married and moved back to the town that I grew up in. We bought a house roughly about 10 miles from where my parents still lived. And we had great neighbors. Their names were Jim and Jenny. So pretty often, my husband and I would go over and sit with them and just have a beer on their deck and talk to them. Eventually, it got around to Jim finding out the street I lived on and which house was mine. And he said, oh, yeah. I worked with a guy that lived in that exact house. And I said, oh, okay. I had never known anything prior to my parents and I living there. They had lived there for quite a while before I was even born. So he said, yeah, I knew a guy that lived there and he had moved from California. He and his wife were from California. And the reason they moved here was because she loved horses. So she had all these horses. She was an equestrian or something, but they raised horses on all the pasture land around my house. And he had been trying to grow an apple orchard and a peach orchard. And he said, yeah, he was a really good guy, but he was California through and through. He really missed it there. And he apparently had worked at this really swanky country club, this resort in California, and he was a lifeguard there when he was younger. And he would talk about it. He would talk about all the movie stars and the famous people that came to this resort. And it was great. It was the happiest time in his life. And once he told me that, I stopped, I froze, I couldn't hear anything. I just had gone back into my memory and I could not believe that I had seen what I knew to be this man's memory. And I had no idea how that had happened. I didn't see him. I don't remember if Jim had even told us this gentleman's name. I don't think he did. And I guess I was too in shock to ask. I don't think he was a ghost. I don't think he lived in the house. Just somehow I had connected with him, or he had wanted to show me maybe the happiest time in his life. Because I feel like if he had been a spirit, you know, obviously he'd want to go back to California if he could go anywhere to the best time in his life. So I just really have no explanation for it. And I just feel like children are so intuitive about things like that. And I wound up asking my mom, I said, did you know anything about the people who lived here before us? And she did know, but she said that the husband had passed away, that he did have a heart attack, but he had it out working in the orchard. So he didn't even pass away in the house. He was out on the property. And so it just, I have no explanation for it. And I've never told this story out loud. I just appreciate you giving us a place to tell our stories. So thank you so much. You guys do a great job. Have a good one.
And you know, you guys do a great job of telling these stories as well. So keep them coming. And thank you, Elizabeth. You certainly got a glimpse into something. A time slip, a shared memory, a ghostly vision, perhaps. Whatever the cause, we appreciate you sharing the tale here with us. Okay, folks, I have to take one last break, but I'll be right back with tonight's closer. Don't move a muscle.
Not into the walk-in, though.
Not the walk-in.
Somebody's going to push me.
Insurance isn't one size fits all, and shopping for it shouldn't feel like squeezing into something that just doesn't fit. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they show you options that fit your budget. Enough hunting for discounts, trying to calculate rates, and tinkering with coverages. Maybe you're picking out your very first policy, or maybe you're just looking for something that works better for you and your family. Either way, make it simple to see your options. No guesswork, no surprises. Ready to see how easy and fun shopping for car insurance can be? Visit Progressive.com and give the Name Your Price tool a try. Take the stress out of shopping and find coverage that fits your life on your terms. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Their experience setting up for the next mission.
Just invested as well.
Now to close things out here tonight, please welcome Jordan to the program.
Hey, Derek. I'm Jordan from Kentucky. So my dad built my childhood home in the late 80s in a new neighborhood development. And so one thing that I was always told, I never actually got this part confirmed. My neighbor, when they had to build their house as they were excavating, you know, laying the foundation and whatnot, they discovered tombstones. And it turned out to be Native American burial grounds. So it was safe to assume that the area at one point was Native property. Before the neighborhood was bought, however, it was owned by a farmer. It was all farmland, had been used for that for years. So again, there's no proof on that part. That's just something I was always told. Maybe it was something that they told us to keep the kids from running around all the time. Maybe freak us out a little bit. So growing up, you'd hear noises and stuff, but nothing crazy. And it was nothing that I couldn't explain away. So up until I was about, 10 or 11 years old, I started having a friend come over and stay the night. Pretty good friend of mine, stayed my friend my whole life, still my friend to this day. he was always a little spooked by my house. He always said that sometimes he'd hear stuff. There's a few times he said he would go in and up the stairs to my room and he felt something grab at him or tug at him. Again, nothing I ever experienced. It was all him telling me this. I would always laugh it off, kind of explain it away. He's just a little easily scared, you know. That's how I thought. Now, you fast forward a few years, and then stuff started happening. The activity really, really picked up to the point where it was almost undeniable that something was going on. So it started out when I was probably, I don't know, 15 years old, maybe 16. My parents were out of town, and so me and my friend had some friends over, and so it was four of us, and we had just left the house to go up to, like, get a milkshake or something up the road. So I locked all the doors, came back. I came into the garage, parked the car, went in the house. We're in the kitchen for a couple minutes, and we all hear this noise, of a pretty distinct noise, of a deadbolt clicking open, you know, and the back door just slowly swings open. So, of course, we're all a little freaked out by that. We all saw it. We were all standing there. I go, I shut the door, I lock it again. So while it was weird and I was almost certain I locked the door, there was the possibility that I forgot to lock the back door, and the change in pressure of shutting the garage door and the front door might have opened it. I don't know. Fast forward, I don't know, a few months. I'm home by myself. I remember my brother being out of town. He didn't live with us at the time, but I dog sit his dog for him. So his dog was at the house. I was at the computer. And next thing I know, the dog who was laying next to me jumps up. His name was Charlie. And he runs over to the door, starts growling and barking at the back door again. So, you know, I peek my head around the corner and, you know, I'm a little worried about it. But at the same time, Charlie was a pretty hyperactive dog. He chases a lot of squirrels and whatnot, so I wouldn't be surprised if he heard a rodent or a mouse. We lived out in the country, so it could have been anything. But it was how angry he could. Charlie didn't really do that. He wasn't like an angry dog. So when his hairs are standing up on his back, you know, I'm a little, like, concerned by it. So needless to say, I calmed Charlie down a little bit, and I got off the computer, and it was late anyway, so I just went on up to bed. My room was a loft room. We had two floors in our house and then a loft area, and that was where my room was. So you had to go up the stairs to get to my room, and then I had a railing, and you couldn't really see down the stairs unless you were directly at the top of the stairs. And right at that top of the stairs was a window. There's a window on that side, and then directly opposite on the other side of the room was another window. So I'm asleep. Charlie's laying in bed with me, jumps out of bed, starts over to the top of the stairs and starts barking ferociously at the bottom. And this time, not only is he really, really mad, but I start to smell. He's releasing that odor that dogs release when they're being really aggressive. I could smell it. So I, again, calm him down, get him to come over, flip all the lights on in the room, go check it out. Nothing there. And then, you know, nothing happened for a few weeks. Then friends are all over. It's me, the friend that I was mentioning earlier, and another friend of ours. And we're all sat out back in my gazebo. So I'm looking at the back of my house in the gazebo. You can see in the windows, but it's a good distance, so it's nothing. You wouldn't be able to see anything in good detail. So we're sat out there. It's nighttime, hanging out, you know, doing what teenagers do. And I have my back lights on. My parents were home this time. They were up asleep. Well, I'm looking up at the window, and my friends see that something obviously catches my attention, so they all look as well. And you can see the outline, or there's clearly someone in the kitchen. Not too startling. Like I said, my parents were there. It was nothing for my dad to wake up and check on us during the night, so he might have came downstairs. So a light flips off. It goes from our kitchen into our living room, and I noticed that it was a little weird because it didn't seem like the gait of someone walking. It was such a smooth transition from kitchen, and I could see the figure moving. I didn't really know, couldn't make out the shape of it, but it was a shadowy looking figure. It moved across, and I could only describe the movement as gliding. That's just what it looked like. Turned the living room light off, which again was weird because if it were my dad, the only way to get back upstairs would be to go through the kitchen. So logically, if you were a human, you would turn the living room light off first, come back, turn the kitchen light off, and then go upstairs instead of walking through the whole of the house in the dark. We, you know, finish hanging out. Friends are about to head home. So we go inside. The back door, which we had came out of, is now locked. Okay, my dad must have thought we went to bed, because that's what I'm still thinking at the time. So he locked the door. And then my friends have all, at this point, the two friends that are over, have decided that my house is haunted just from little experiences they've had. And so, you know, they're kind of talking about it, being freaked out. Well, we go to a door that I know was unlocked, which was my garage door, also locked. So at this point, we're effectively locked out of the house. Luckily, I knew where a spare key was. Go get the spare key, unlock the back door, no problem. It was probably around midnight, so I go into my kitchen and I'm looking across my kitchen into the living room where I last saw the figure after the lights went out and the figure went away. And on the corner of my couch is my cat, and that's where my cat always sleeps. The cat's laying there, as he normally does, on that couch, but instead of being asleep, he's very clearly wide awake, which isn't the weirdest thing in the world, but pretty odd compared to what he normally does. So jokingly, you know, I'm trying to kind of break the tension because we are all a little freaked out. I look at my cat and I say, "Are you okay? What have you seen?" And right about that time, I kid you not, if you've ever seen a cat yawn, it opened its mouth like a yawn as big as it could, but it didn't look like it was yawning, and then just closed it really quick. Being kind of funny, we were like, "Haha," but it also freaked me out just a little bit. It was like it was responded to my question, and it didn't make a very nice face. So, you know, my friends went home. They were all talking about it. I went up to bed. Nothing strange for the rest of the night. I don't know how much time went by, maybe a few weeks, maybe a month or so. My friend from the beginning of the story that came over, been my friend since I was young, he stayed at my house hundreds of times at this point. He always sleeps in my room. I have my bed. There's a couch in my room, and that's where he'll sleep. Well, the couch is right in line with those two windows. It's like basically window, rest of the room, couch, then window on the other side. So I wake up probably, I don't know, stupid o'clock in the morning to him rustling around. I notice he's grabbing all of his stuff and throwing it in a backpack. And he's like, "No, man, never again, never again." And he just keeps saying, "Never again." I'm like, what's going on? He's like, "I'm leaving, never again. I'm never coming back here, I'm leaving." He didn't tell me what was going on. He literally just got his stuff and left. Sure enough, he calls me the next day, apologizes for the abrupt leaving, and I asked him what happened. Now, keep in mind, he had no idea to this point about anything to do with Native Americans and the property. He swears to me that at the top of those stairs, right where that dog Charlie was barking just months before, in the moonlight, he saw a silhouette of a full Native American in full headdress and all, like a tribal chief or something. And he said he wasn't sleep paralysis because he leaned up and he, you know, rubbed his eyes, got a better look. And as he looked a second time, he raised his arm up and just pointed at him. That was when he started making all that noise and gathering the stuff. And then he said the guy just disappeared. At that point, I told him about the Native Americans and neighbors digging up the tombstones and all that stuff. And he was like, "Oh, no." And to this day, even all through our teenage years, he never, ever stayed the night at that house. He came back and he stayed late even, but he never stayed the night there again. So we decided that we had to figure something out before it got bad because it just seemed to get progressively worse. So we did some research. I stumbled across some YouTube videos about hauntings of things that have been built on former Native American land. They said that something that you need to do is go outside on a full moon, burn some sage or some herbs, and ask for forgiveness for taking the land, because obviously it had nothing to do with you. It was people generations before you. And ask for forgiveness and then permission to keep using the land. So as ridiculous as it sounds, I got one of my more spiritual friends with me. One night on a full moon, we did just that. And I sat out there on my back deck and asked for forgiveness, and that it had nothing to do with me, and that my ancestors might have taken over, but it was not me, and asked for permission to use the land again. And I don't know if it worked. That would have been late high school years. I shortly moved out of that house after that. My parents, to this day, have never really experienced anything. So I don't know what to think of it. Maybe we got rid of it. That's my story. Keep doing what you're doing. I really love the podcast. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Jordan. Wild stuff. And it sounds like whatever it is you did, it worked. Either that or the entity felt it got its message across and didn't feel the need to return again. And for your sake, Jordan, I hope the latter is the truth. Now, folks, the Bluegrass State is one of the spookiest places in the U.S., if not the world. And I think tonight's collection confirms that. So well done, Kentucky. And folks, that's going to do it for this episode. Monsters Among Us is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Now don't forget to check us out on social media. Join our YouTube page, join our Discord server, and leave us a rate and review wherever you can do such a thing. Don't forget, you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Unexplained Network. Just visit unexnetwork.com to tune in. Now check out the audiobook that I narrated. It's called I Saw It Out There, Terrifying True Stories of Unexplained Encounters, Cryptid Sightings, and Paranormal Horrors in the Wilderness by Tom Lyons. You can find it on Audible, and there's a link up in the show notes. Now, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Go.ag Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Check out our documentary, Shadows in the Desert, High Strangeness in the Borrego Triangle. Just go to Tubi, Amazon Prime, or go to BorregoTriangle.com to learn more. Go check out Monsters Among Us Jr. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. And finally, don't forget to join us in the Beyond. You get 30 extra minutes of after show every week by joining the Beyond. $5 gets you there. Just visit us on Patreon, Apple subscriptions, or go to monstersamonguspodcast.com and click that Patreon tab. All right, folks, I'll catch you back here on Thursday. I have a slate of chill-inducing calls that I can't wait to share with you. But until that time, you keep it spooky. And have yourselves a good night.
Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I like things my way. My coffee, my schedule, and my treatment. So I talked to my doctor about self-injecting with the VivGuard Hytrulo prefilled syringe, which contains efgartigimod alpha and hyaluronidase QVFC. It's injected under your skin, subcutaneously. It means I can inject in my space, on my time. It's my treatment, my way. Visit VivGuardMyWay.com. That's VYVGARTMyWay.com. And talk to your doctor about VivGuard Hytrulo. brought to you by Argenics.